You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
Well, I've got a message today that's going to challenge you. And if you take it to heart, it's going to change your life forever. I want to talk about thoughts, words, and deeds. The relationship between your thoughts, your words, and your deeds. You have to be very careful what you think about and what you meditate upon, because what you think about the whole time, you're going to start talking about it. And when you start talking about things and saying it, very soon you'll be doing it. 3 John 1:2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy, your tremendous grace that you have towards us. Thank you for your word that is holy, O Father. Lord, touch every heart, prepare every heart to receive your word with meekness into their hearts. That's able to change our souls, save our souls, O Father. Let your people hear your voice upon my voice, O Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. The Bible shows us here in this verse that there's a clear link between the way that you prosper, experience good things in your life, and the way that you think. Talks about the soul. Your soul is your will, your intellect, and your emotions. He says, I'm praying that you will prosper in your emotions, in your thinking, in your will. Let me see, who's the overthinkers? Just wave at me. Who of you a little bit, you know, a bit over emotional? A little bit sensitive? Says, I'm praying for you that you will prosper in your soul, in your emotions, in your will, in your thinking. Why? Because it affects every other area of your life where God wants you to prosper. Everything that you're thinking about has an impact on you. A matter of fact, what you think about, ponder upon, yeah, will happen in time. When you understand what happens in your mind, happens in time. You'll be very careful what you are thinking about. But when we know this, we can take control and we can start to manage our thoughts. Guide them in the right direction so that you can have peace on the inside, stability on the inside. Even though there's a storm on the outside, when there's peace on the inside, when your soul, your will, your intellect, your emotions are prospering, I mean your emotions are stable, you can make the right decisions in a storm. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You can be the most beautiful person in this whole world, but if in your heart you believe that you're ugly, you're going to believe that you're ugly. As a man thinks in his heart, that's why you have to take note of what you are thinking, because what happens in your mind will happen in time. But when we know this, you can start to manage your mind. Turn to the person next to you, say, mind management. When you start to manage your mind, you can start to manage your heart. When you start to manage your heart, you'll be careful and be aware of what you are saying. Can I just say one thing? As a Christian, never ever say, this is me, take it or leave it. Never say, this is me, take it or leave it, because then you're saying the word of God cannot change you. But when we allow this word to become an integral part of our lives by its very nature, it will start to change you. And you will start to think with God, plan with God, act with God. So when you understand that you can manage your mind, that inner voice, You'll start to say the right things, and will start to cultivate an atmosphere of heaven in your heart where there's peace. This is what Jesus was talking about when he says, the peace that I give you is not the peace of this world. It's a peace from heaven. That although hell is loose all around you, you can have peace on the inside. And you can think the right things, say the right things, and do the right things. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm going to share this with somebody that I know that needs this. This message is not for me. I'm sorted. Can I tell you something, young people, especially you that's on your phones the whole time, looking at what people are saying, whether they are giving you a thumbs up or a heart. Allow people to speak over you. But be careful who speaks into you. Be careful what you take to heart. Because the things you take to heart are the things that you're going to start to meditate about. And when you start thinking about those things, you're going to start saying those things. And then you're going to sometimes start behaving according to the things that you say. And many times it's a lie that was spoken over you. Thoughts, words, deeds. You know what's the good news? I had to chop this sermon in half. There was so much to say. So I've just got the very best here for you. Amen. Amen. Maybe give the Lord a hand. Maybe I'll do the second portion. Listen to what Hebrews 4 verse 2 says. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. What is it talking about here? It's giving reference to Israel when they had to go into the promised land. God had planned good things for them. Jeremiah 29:11, most people can quote it. I know the thoughts I have towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And you can know that scripture. You can quote it. But if it's not mixed with faith and you believe it, you will never see that goodness. Because the thoughts on the inside, well, although you know, I know the thoughts you have towards me, you'll think, I wonder what's God's thoughts towards me. I wonder if God is for me. Don't raise your hand, just double blink at me. He says, it's not being mixed with faith. Why is faith so important? What is faith? Faith is Jesus Christ himself, the substance that died on the cross, made a way. But if you don't believe it, you'll never start to act it or say it. And he says, because it wasn't mixed with faith, they couldn't enter into the promised land. But when you know, Ephesians 1 verse 3, it says that we've been blessed with every blessing in Christ Jesus. That's why it's part of the declaration that we do. When you face a difficult situation, what's the first thing that you start to say? What did I do wrong? Am I talking to the right people here? When the door that you thought was going to go open does not open up, what did I do wrong? How many say, I'm blessed with every blessing in Christ Jesus, and I know that God is busy perfecting everything concerning me? So there's a link. If you're going to believe God for great things, raise your hand if you're trusting God for great things, believing God for great things. If you're trusting God for great things, be careful what you are thinking. Be careful what you are saying, because what you think and what you say will affect your actions. Just say thoughts, words, actions. Job. I'm going to refer to Job in the Bible and David in the Bible today. I never used to love the book of Job because he lost everything. But when I started reading the nuggets in there, I thought Job is such a great person. Job said, the things which I feared came upon me. The things which I feared came upon me. What do we fear? We fear the future. We fear the unknown. But when you know that God is in your future, you don't have to fear the future because you know God is waiting for you. What you are meditating upon, what you are thinking, whether negative or positive, will have an impact upon your life. It's the unseen struggles that are the most dangerous ones. Not you driving down the road. It's dangerous to drive in Gauteng. But the most dangerous struggles, you on your own in your room, having a conversation with you, yourself, and I. Am I talking to the right people here? The unseen struggles are the most dangerous ones. Am I going to make it? Single people, is there a job out there for me? Is there a husband out there for me? Will I ever find a girlfriend? Ever find a boyfriend? Will anybody ever be able to love me? Yes, you're made in God's image and likeness. You're one of a kind with a purpose and a plan from God. Start meditating and thinking upon those things. Amen. Let me tell you something about thoughts. Stinking thoughts. Stinking thoughts is like that curry fish that got spilled in the fridge that nobody has cleaned up. And now you open the door and you smell it. What do you do? Do you just close the door? You can close the door. The smell is not going to go away. It's the same thing with negative thoughts. It's like that bad smell in the fridge. The sooner and the quicker you clean it, the better the whole fridge will smell. But if you leave that nasty, stinking smell in that fridge, after 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks, what is that whole fridge going to smell like? All you, even your good thoughts, even the good food in there is going to start smelling bad. Just because you ignore it doesn't mean it's gone. If you treasure that stinking smell above all, that's where your thoughts will be. That's where your heart will be. Some of us has got disappointments and hurts. Let me refer to that fish that's gone off in the fridge. We're holding on to it. This 1975 sardine, when I was disappointed by Frank. I don't just smell it, I can taste it. It's hurting so deep. Let it go. Let it go. Some of you treasure your hurts so much. That's why your heart is going to hurts the whole time. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. But out of the abundance of a heart, the mouth will speak. That's why you have to listen when you are talking what's coming out of your heart. Hebrews 12:15 says, be careful lest you fall short of the grace of God, and a root of bitterness springs up by which many become defiled. What does it teach? Does it teach when you are defiling with your mouth, always talking bad about people? That Frankie, that again, that Frankie, this with the Frankie, the fish, the Frankie, the sardine. All that you are confessing is your weakness, that you've got bitterness in your heart towards Frankie and his sardine that was dropped in your fridge. And the little sardine of 10 years ago is still controlling your speech after 10 years. And your thoughts and your words start to affect your actions and your character. And now people start to perceive you as a negative, complaining person that's got nothing good to say about sardines. But you are the one keeping the fridge closed, allowing the sardines to rot in your fridge. Hiding feelings does not make them disappear. Deal with your thoughts before your thoughts deal with you. Am I helping some of you? Turn to the person next to you and say, it's about to get better. The Bible says a good man out of the good treasure in his heart brings forth good. So when somebody finds themselves in a difficult situation and they always have the answer, it doesn't matter what it is. Why? Because they have a good treasure. That good treasure is when the Word of God starts to dominate our hearts. They know what to do because the peace of God rules and reigns in their hearts. But when you've got a storm on the outside and you've got a storm on the inside, all that you're going to have is chaos. Thoughts will determine your words and your actions. What happens in your mind will happen in time. I mean, some of you have had conversations in your mind. Oh, this, if I just see this person again, if I meet him again, oh, I'm going to tell him. And I mean, you have a whole conversation how you put them in their place, how you humiliate them and break them down. And that person is maybe walking around with the same thing. And when the two of you meet up, it's just strife and fighting. You know what the Bible says about that? 2 Timothy 2, go read it. He says, pray for people like that they should come to their senses. They've lost their common sense. Have you seen people when they fight and they get angry? No common sense. Do you know why? Oh, now I'm going to ruffle some feathers. Do you know why? Because where there's strife is rooted in pride. Strife is rooted in pride, is what the book of Proverbs says. But Obadiah 1 verse 3 says, the pride of my heart has deceived me. When you're deceived, you think you're doing the right thing, sorting this person out. But you're not. Take time and go read 2 Timothy 2, where it talks about vessels of honor right till the end. He says, pray for those that they should come to their senses. Because if you want to fight the whole time, argue, you have surrendered your will to the devil to do his will. Okay, some of you don't believe me that it's written in the Bible. Let me get my glasses. Amen. This is what the fifth floor will do to you. Amen. Go to 2 Timothy 2 quickly. Let me just show you. I shared this with on Thursday night at the prayer meeting. Timothy 2:23, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. So avoid foolish arguments. Keep your nose out of other people's business. Amen. Some of you are picking fights on Facebook that's got nothing to do with you. Keep your comments to yourself. Keep your peace in your heart. Because there's too much things going on in your mind and now you're writing it and saying it there. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. If you are the whole time fighting, I want to tell you, you're a Christian under the control of the devil. I'm just reading the Bible. Say, Aina. So sometimes you want to be so spiritual. But if you're fighting with everybody, you're unspiritual. You're under the control of the devil. And what does the devil want to do? He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. That's when all the nasty, nasty, wicked, evil things are said to one another. So there's a place where you want to keep the peace. You say, let's just take a minute and cool down. I'm just going to go to the corner and pray and ask God just to fill me with his peace and just get the peace in my heart again. Ooh. Anybody had a fight this week? Anybody upset you this week? Anybody got offended this week? Okay, then I'm preaching to the right people. Amen. You know what's the good news, family? When you're a Christian, the Bible says the righteous may fall 7 times, but he'll get up every time. Do you know what that means? You're either busy getting up or you're up. So what happened this week, forget about it and get up and move on. Put it behind you and move forward. Amen. Sometimes you're going to have to see beyond the challenges, beyond the difficulties that you are facing. As a Christian, that's what we should do. Jesus taught us to do that. Let your thoughts, your words, and your actions align with Jesus. I shared this morning in the pre-service prayer meeting, Hebrews 12 verse 2. It says, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. The one translation says, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. He started and showed us how to do it. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. So what did Jesus do? He didn't focus upon the pain and the sin, but he focused upon the joy, you that would accept salvation. That's what we have to do when we go through difficult times. Don't look at the situation. Focus upon Jesus Christ, where he paid the price on the cross, looking unto Jesus, fixing your eyes on Jesus. There you'll see he died for your sin, as much as he died for the sins of the person that made you angry. How do you manage your thoughts? You manage your thoughts by looking to Jesus. Who of you are part of the Bible marathon that we're doing right now? And while reading, is your life not more peaceful? Is your communication not better with the people around you? Why? Because you're spending more time with Jesus. When the Word of God comes into your life, when you receive the Word of God into your heart with meekness, it changes the way you think. When it changes the way that you think, it changes the way that you talk. It changes the way that you behave. So Jesus didn't focus on the cross. He focused on the glory, you and me, that would receive salvation. So you have to manage those negative thoughts. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, taking every thought, every argument, every vain imagination captive and bring it in line with the mind and the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think sometimes some of us just need to put our hands on our heads and just say, Lord, I take every thought, every argument, every vain imagination captive now, and I bring it in line with the mind and the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. But better than that, for every negative thought that you have, there's a scripture that will counter that. So you look to Jesus, who is the Word. When you have negative thoughts, when you feel like you don't have a future, go find a scripture that will confirm that you have a future. Amen? If you feel I'm never going to meet anybody, go find a scripture that will tell you that you're going to meet somebody. Sometimes we face real emotional things that pull us down. All of us have ups and downs. The only person that's constant like that is Jesus. Can I just say this? Those that have hurt you in the past do not dictate your future. Those that have disappointed you in the past does not hold your future. The one who holds your future is Jesus Christ. Negative thoughts become negative words, become negative actions. But can I say this? A negative thought is not sin. A negative thought only becomes sin when you start saying it. If I feel like I used the example previously of Ntati Mofokeng that maybe offended me. If I say I'm never going to talk to him, that's not a sin. It's a sin when I start saying, I don't talk to that guy anymore. Now I'm sinning. And now it starts to affect my behavior. Job had negative thoughts, but the Bible said he never sinned against God in any of his actions. Turn to the person next to you and say, a negative thought is not a sin. It becomes sin when you say it and you do it. Job 2 verse 9, it says, then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speak. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. didn't say one negative word. Wow, what an accusation. When we find ourselves in difficult situations, how quickly are we to say wrong things? But if this treasure is positive, filled with the word of God, you'll be declaring the word of God in that situation. Can I say this? Heaven is aware of what you are saying in your difficult situations. I took this whole part out, but let me just... Israel didn't go into the promised land because of what they said. We are not able to go into the promised land. And God heard it. They were complaining against Moses, and God said, they're complaining against me. And their negative thoughts became words that kept them out of the promised land. Confess what you believe, not what you see. Job continued to hope in God. David faced so many things in his life. In Psalm 42, verse 5, the Bible says, "So then, my soul, why would you be depressed? Why would you sink into despair? Just keep hoping and waiting on God, your Savior. For no matter what, I will still sing with praise, for you are my saving grace." Can I just say this? Go and decide what is the desired result and start declaring that. That's what God did. He didn't focus upon the pain on the cross. He focused upon you and me, the glory that would come. Go see what is the desired result. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, and he became the father of many nations. The Bible says he started calling forth things that were not as though they were. Started thanking God. But the Bible says when anxiety grips our heart, that's when we become depressed. But when that anxiety grips your heart, start speaking to this heart. Start replacing that with the word of God. When everything is telling you you're going under, then you say the word of God says, I'm going over. When the world is shouting and saying you're the tail, you say, no, the word of God says, I'm the head. Identify the root and deal with that. If there's a root of bitterness causing you to defile, deal with the root of bitterness. Can I say this, young people, listen to me. On Instagram and Facebook and all these things, don't take everything to heart people say. The Bible says it in Ecclesiastes 7 verse 21 to 22. You can go read it. It says, don't take everything to heart people say about you. Because you yourself, you've also said things about people. And then later, I didn't mean it. When people say things, know who can speak into your life and know who you allow to speak over you. Because if they speak things into you that's a lie, it will start to affect your speech and your actions. Sometimes when people have said something and done something, let me just give you some advice. Forgiving somebody does not mean they are right and you are wrong. It means you choose peace in your heart. Doesn't mean you trust them. Means you choose peace. As Christ has forgiven you, you forgive them. I'm going to close with the last point. Strong thoughts lead to powerful words and incredible actions. Can I say that? When your thinking is clear and strong, you'll be able to speak and declare words that can impact people's lives, and your actions will be incredible. The Bible says in the book of Mark 11:22, so Jesus answered them and said, have faith in God. Remember, I spoke about it in the beginning, mixing the word with faith. He says, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. This is how prayer works. This is the secret of prayer. What you think and what you believe in your heart. Thoughts and believing in your heart. When you start to say it and pray it, words, there's going to be actions. Things are going to start to happen. Can you see, if you want a relationship with God, your thoughts, your words, and your actions are so important. Faith without works is dead. And there are so many people that have taught on this. And we know that when you pray, you should receive. And if you receive it believing, you'll have it. claim it, frame it, say it. You've heard those teachings, and many have done it for years, but nothing has changed in your life. Am I talking to the right people here? Who of you have heard those teachings and you've done those things and not a lot changed? Just raise your hand. Be honest. Okay, a few people. Do you know why? Because most pastors don't teach the most important part that follows after that. Strong faith to move mountains comes from a pure heart. Go to verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, still in the same context, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you. Can you see that strong thoughts, strong words, and strong actions, I mean faith, is linked to forgiveness? Why? Because faith works through love. And when love affects your thoughts, it will affect your words, it will affect your actions. Turn to the person and you say, faith works through love. So, let me close with this. I've got 100,000 things I want to say, but let me close with this. David, the apple of God's eye. He said, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord. May my thoughts and my words be acceptable to you, Lord. In Psalm 51, he said, Lord, create in me a pure heart and a contrite spirit. Place within me a right attitude, the one translation says. So he understood it. So privately, he started dealing with his thoughts. Turn to the person next to you and say, deal with your thoughts privately. When you deal with things privately, then publicly, it will never be a problem. This is the secret to David's life. David sat privately looking after the sheep. Privately looking after the sheep. Privately started saying, thinking, I can kill a lion, I can kill a bear. Then he started saying, the next time there's a lion, I'm going to kill it. The next time there's a bear, I'm going to kill it. Because God is with me. I'm in covenant with God. I'm a son of God. I'm not an uncircumcised Philistine. I'm in covenant with God. He started declaring and saying these things. And what happened? Privately, he killed the lion and the bear. Why am I saying this? Because if you don't have your private victories, when people of authority speak into your life, they'll shake your faith. When David appeared before Saul and he said, this giant, I'm going to kill him. What did Saul say to him? Saul said to him, I don't think you can do it. He says, you're too young. You're too small. You've not been trained in weaponry. Be careful who speaks into your life and make sure when they're not of authority, what God has declared stands forever. He said, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you. When he got on the battlefield, you know who was the one offending him or could have offended him more than anybody else? His big brother. His big brother was chirping him the whole time. Why are you here? Speaking down at him. Don't you have some sheep that you should look after? What are you doing on the battlefield? This is for the big men. His brother even doubted or challenged his motive. He says, you have an arrogant heart. He had a humble heart. The arrogant one was his big brother. But when David appeared before the king, he said, listen, I've had private success over the lion and the bear. I'm ready for public success. Family, listen to me. Where God has taken you privately and you've had victory, get ready for your victories publicly. Amen. He didn't allow negative thoughts to come in. He didn't allow any of that to contaminate his speech in any way. He said to the king, he said, I want to tell you something. When I was watching the sheep, it's right, I come from there. I was faithful. The lion and the bear came and they tried to kill my father's sheep, but not on my shift. I had a friend in the Holy Spirit that helped me, and I killed the lion and the bear. I don't think I'm a bear killer or lion killer, but I'm in covenant with God. And I didn't take it personal. This giant that's coming against Israel is not coming against me, it's coming against my God. So I want to tell you now, in the same way I killed a lion and a bear, I'm going to kill this giant. Your thoughts will become your words, will become your actions. His confession is the thing that gave him possession, that he could run onto the battlefield and he could have a victory. David was ordinary. Private success, private victory means you are ready for public victory, public success. Your thoughts will become words, will become actions. Your confession will give you possession on the battlefield when it seems impossible. Selah.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.